If you came earlier than this, you would have seen the gutters were all filled up and it enters the farmlands and it washes out the nutrients and everything.
My boat went for fishing. I'm operating with 3 boats. I spent nothing less than 350,000 for those 3 boats to go for fishing, and they came back with nothing. So the money we spent for that day is a loss.
If we see that we can use climate smart practices to be able to overcome those issues, then we advise you to go ahead.
It is a rainy Saturday morning in Mpanak, Iwokpom village in Ibono local government area, one of the villages in Akwa Ibom's oil-rich location, where the livelihood of community members remain pathetic due to environmental ruins that are evident. I am greeted by the ambience of the countryside setting where a young lady, Lillian Okon Sunday, receives me. In the course of our interaction, she reveals herself as the daughter of the village head. Just from the location where we stood, I could see the seaside from the area occupied by houses, a number of them shanties. On days like this one, when it rains continuously throughout the day, Lillian's family decides to stay away from the farmlands and observe the level of the sea to determine how safe it is to access the farms from the shorelines. The living conditions of residents are glaring here as we walk through flooded parts to get to the waterfront.
Are you serious? This place is usually very flooded.
Our house, what has stopped me here?
Wow.
Inside the house.
So this pathway we are going through, if it rains heavily, usually reaches your knee.
Lillian Okun Sunday is an advocate in Ibono. She's quite vocal about the problems her community is faced with. Her family has a large farm she speaks so proudly about.
Our cassava looks like yam, very big from that land. So people will be like, it's big, and they will need the stems for them to plant and also have such harvest in their farm. Earlier, when I came back here during the dry season, we did gari, we did fufu, but because of the rain and other things that's determining the soil, we cannot sell them. We don't have the large harvest. It's been long we even did gari here in the house because we've not harvested much. There are times the dry season, the water gets high and it enters the farmland too. But the thing is, during rainy seasons like this, constantly gets high. If you came earlier than this, you would have seen the gutters were all filled up and it enters the farmlands and it washes out the nutrients and everything.
Welcome to the documentary, We Can Farm, a story of environmental ruins in Ibono and its impact on agriculture. My name is Ima Dem. It is now 11 a.m. and the rain is still pouring. Lillian gives some insight as she leads the way to the houses of some women farmers in the area. Our first stop is the residence of a woman farmer in an axis of the community known as Yoruba Quarters. The women farmers spoke mainly in the local dialect.
I plant from vegetables, cocoyam, pepe, and other crops. Oil pollution leaves the crops stunted. The soil is no longer conducive for farming, as my crops do not grow properly. For these reasons, I can't plant successfully.
You can possibly relate with the environmental damage caused by oil spillage from footages you see on television or images on print and the social media space. A close contact with the ruins of the ecosystem in these areas will give you a better understanding of the people's plight. In a chat with Obongawan Emily Okun, she is Lillian's mother and wife of the village head. She shares her experience with farming since the start of 2024, describing it as very challenging.
Obiyongoba, my sister. Obiyongoba. Yongoba, taiti. Only I'm in Kadero Kurita. 1,000.
We are hungry. The price of gari is high. 2024 has been tough. Flood, water penetrating the farmlands, disturbing the cassava yields.
True.
My neighbor harvested her own crop too early. This is the case most times. Oil pollution has also affected my crops. I plant melon, vegetables. I plant so that I can feed my family.
There are narratives that Ibadan's soil is not conducive for farming. Some stakeholders argue that the people of Ibadan might not thrive in growing crops due to the nature of their soil and now worsened by climate change caused by gas flaring, oil spills and other environmental activities as one of Akwaibom's oil production locations. Ibadan lies on the eastern side of the Kwaibo River. It's made up of 26 villages with a population of over 90,000 people. It is one of the largest fishing settlements on the Nigerian coast. Also, statistics show that environmental issues are intense in this coastal area. For instance, the data by the Nigeria Gas Flare Tracker shows that out of the 31 local government areas in Akwa Ibom State, Ibadan is the area where gas is mostly flared. These statistics, captured for a period of 10 years, 2012 to 2022, shows how much gas is flared in the Nigerian city. Adding to the numbers, which put Nigeria on the rank of 10 top countries that flare the most gas in the world. Out of 47.2 million thousand standard cubic feet of gas flared in Akwa Ibom communities, Ibadan records 45.3 million thousand standard cubic feet, with Esereket recording the next largest volume of 1.9 million standard cubic feet. Speaking differently on the farming narrative, a fisherman who is also a crop farmer believes the soil is capable of yielding certain crops. Hence the reason he goes all out to plant.
My name is Ezekiah Eshet. I'm from Panak, Ibadan local government area. I'm into agricultural farming and aquaculture. Pest is one of the major challenges we are having. And also during rainy season like this, our plants, erosion will come and wash away the topsoil and the plants will die. It is also one of the major challenges. Then with the oil gas exploration activity in the land, it's also a very major challenge we are having, because when there is oil spillage, then you will come back in the morning to your farm, you see some oil debris in the farmland, which it contaminates the palm fruit, and you cannot harvest such a thing back to your house for consumption. So the oil spillage is also a major problem we are also facing in our activity. So, and also I want to appeal to the government of Nigeria and the state government. They should also come in and also encourage farmers in Ibadan. They should not just sit down in Uyo and also conclude that Ibadan is a waterline area that they are not farming. No.
Eshet, who has been fishing for about 3 decades now, speaks on the environmental issues in Iwopum, also making reference to damages caused by oil spill pollution and how these are affecting his fishing business.
For the fish farming now is highly challenging because of the activities of the oil and gas industry. You know, before we didn't need to travel a distance or miles to go for fishing. You just go by the seashore here, you cast your net. Before nightfall, you have something to take back home, but it is not like that because of the activity. The release of these toxic chemicals to the water has also changed this aquatic life to deep offshores. Now, for me to get fish now or crayfish, I'll need to buy a fuel worth 100,000 and above, depending on the location you are going to. And you travel 3 to 4 hours, at times 5 hours, to the deep sea where we have the mobile platform. That is where you have most of this aquatic life go to settle before you can start fishing. Then casting your net and all the business are there. Coming back, that will be around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. That's how we get most of these fishes. Now, when there is oil spillage now, this oil spillage damages the ecosystem. So the fishes will travel and look for a safer place. So that is also the
that's
problem.
That's why you have to go far.
Yes, you go
so
far.
So to have access to that 100,000 naira fuel, do you go in groups?
No, that is for individual. Though. So 100,000 naira fuel for per person, depending on who is going for fishing. My boat went for fishing. I'm operating with 3 boats. I spent nothing less than 350,000 for those 3 boats to go for fishing. And they came back with nothing. So the money we spent for that day is a loss.
This situation is getting worse and is evident in the recurrent protests by youths in the area who took to the streets to call for a cleanup of the area following the latest oil spill, which was seen on August 20, 2024. The women claim that what they are experiencing in 2024 is a more devastating state of environmental issues. Mrs. Rosalind James speaks about 15 years ago, which she notes farming was more productive in the communities.
Things were better years back. In 2009, we had more productive planting seasons. Now, oil pollution is ruining things. Also, every part of my farm is filled with water. I plant cassava, yam, plantain, vegetables, banana, cocoyam, and more crops. For instance, the vegetable is stunted. The maize from my plants is not growing properly.
Notable among the concerns Mrs. Roslyn James expressed is a mention of Mobil Producing Nigeria, an oil exploration company in the local government area. Just like her, other villagers are keen about interventions from the international oil companies carrying out oil exploration activities.
It is difficult to feed. Government should come and speak to Mobil. They should be able to help us. The activities are spoiling our lands and we are suffering. The oil exploration is also affecting fish farming.
Interestingly, the Petroleum Industry Act, PIA, in Nigeria allows for 3% development fund for host communities where oil companies operate. It is an amount from the operating cost of oil exploration establishments and is expected to cater to the developmental needs of the people. A report by the Host Community Development Trust, HCDT, an initiative that allows for implementation of a 3% PIA fund, indicates that so far the HCDT has disbursed 53.2 billion naira and $92.77 million to benefiting oil producing communities in various states of Nigeria. The Trust for Oil Bearing Communities in Akwa Ibom State is captured in Eket, Mparenin, Ona, Ikorabasi, Mbo, Esereket, and Eastern Obolo, termed Emoimi, an acronym used to identify the oil communities. Ibna, however, operates a different trust which caters to the 26 villages of the local government area.
An embankment should be done here to protect the farms from water. My house also got flooded. An embankment can't prevent that.
Embankment actually helps the water not to penetrate. There are places I can take you to where they don't have this embankment that can penetrate inside people's houses.
Or even people's farms.
Yes, even people's farms. So with the help of this embankment, we can actually stop water.
Those are voices of villagers emphasizing the solution to the encroachment of water into farmlands and houses. They are clamoring for an embankment, a facility that could shield water inflow to the farms and their safe spaces. They make reference to locations in an axis called Inside Village, still in Mpanak, where residents are protected because there are embankments available in these areas. The women farmers say an embankment is a development they so desire. Mr. Samuel Ekpanyong is the chairman of the Development Trust for Ibono. He oversees the management of the trust and speaks about this facility. According to him, providing embankments would be beyond funds available for the trust.
We are from Ibono. We are Kwaibom. We are Nigerian. For the past 1 month, it has been so bad. Even where that bridge, which I mean, I'm sure you get there. If you go there today, this morning, most of the sheds, the houses, structures built by people who do business have been destroyed by ocean surge. It is very important that we have embankment. He said, do we have a plan for that? Yes, we have. We do have a plan for that. Do we have the finances? Do we have the money to execute such a plan? We don't, as a trust. What we get from the oil IOC is 3% of operating expenditure.
The peculiarities of farming in coastal areas are issues the Akwa Ibom State government says it is aware of. Dr. Ofiong Ofo, the State Commissioner for Agriculture, in response to a number of questions on the challenges of farmers in the coastal area of Ibono, speaks of climate change and how that is compounding the already existing environmental problems in the oil-rich city.
Even if you do mounds, depending on the volume of water, it can still wash it away. So if you know that these areas are highly prone to flood. there is little to what you can do depending on the level of water that flows in. So we advise them, if there is an alternative land that you can use that is not so close to that area, in the interim, just make do with that until those issues are resolved. Like, if you go, you are saying making an embankment. Even with that, sometimes the level of water can be very high. And then the water just comes over and takes out everything. We advise people who have their farms close to wetlands, that you know that there's a high tendency for water to wash. If you have an alternative land, leave that in the interim and use the other one until something can be done about it. So that it won't be an effort in futility. You put so much in and then water washes it away. Otherwise, if we see that we can use climate smart practices to be able to overcome those issues, then we advise you to go ahead. Even if you apply climate smart practices and you know that the volume of water there, sometimes you cannot predict it.
Dr. Ofo also indicates the collaboration with opinion leaders in the area to solve the farming issues.
Ownership of land is an issue with women. If it doesn't come through your marriage line, it's difficult for you as a woman to really lay ownership unless you lease the land. And depending on what you're cropping, if it is not a permanent crop, they can easily give you the land for lease. If it's a permanent crop like tree crops, coconut, oil palm, those were permanent. That means when you plant it on the land, you're not intending to live anytime soon. So those are issues that we have. We have a lot of land tenure issues. So we're talking to the community leaders to help our farmers out. Where you see that women especially have issues with land ownership, help them. If they have land close to places that are prone to flood, help them. Give them somewhere else temporarily. We try to relate with the chairman of local government and say, if these people, like I talked to the village heads, we had a meeting with them, with the commissioner for chieftaincy affairs. I said, if these people come to you with genuine reasons that, okay, I can't crop here because of XYZ reasons, can you give them, assign some other land to them? Let them have some respite.
That's you emphatically saying that there's collaboration between the Ministry of Agriculture and the local government leaders as well.
Yes. Yes, we talked to them. We talked about several things, and that was one of the things I emphasized. I said, we'll come to areas where we know that we really need help on that point. That see how you can help these people. Not only women, men, anyone that has those issues. Let's see how to reassign lands to them to use temporarily to crop. Later on, we can sort out those issues. Since His Excellency has emphasized that we should go back to the farm, and I told him, how are you helping as a village head? How are you helping? We've been hearing these things, and we talked to the traditional rulers, and there's so much you can do.
As a fishing settlement with capacity to expand fish farming, an advocacy which stands out is one made by Hezekiah Ishet, the fisherman in Ibana, who was calling on Akwa Ibom's government to establish a fishing hub in the state.
I will appeal to the government of the day, see how they can come in down to Ibno and also invest in agriculture. You know, Ibno is an industrial hub. If the government of the day can come in and also invest into this agriculture, I will say we have an international seafood market here in Ibno. So that is my kindly appeal. The government of the day should come in and invest in fish farming in Ibno so we can also have an international seafood market in Ibno.
This is a reflection of a people who believe in their prowess of contributing to Akwa Ibom's food production to foster food security, and for them, the yearning for a repair of their degraded environment to support agricultural practices in the state resonates.
This documentary is supported by Data Fight Foundation.